Welcome to the preliminary final edition of the Rush Hour with MG's final previews. MG, as always, we bring in this man who he's been outstanding thus far. The first time we spoke to him, he was doing the shopping. The second time, he was laid up on his couch in his fancy Northern Beaches trackies.
And his slippers.
Ryan Girdler, where do we find you this evening?
Well, I thought last week's performance was so good, boys. I'm a man of routine, so I've gone for the slippers. Had a little bit of a surf this morning, which was fantastic. Been a busy week, but I'm all excited about the weekend's footy, so took it easy today and ready for a chat now, then off into the footy show.
Now, we appreciate you're limited for time, Gerd, so we're going to race through this with you. Let's start, gentlemen. Friday night, the Sharkies heading down to Melbourne to take on the Melbourne Storm. MG, the Storm overwhelming favourites in this one, $1.37 favourites. What do you make of this one?
Yeah, I think probably justly so. They've had the week off, which I bet the Sharks would have given anything for, given the three big injuries in Lewis, Gallen and Dugan, who I expect all three to play, but they're all going to play at probably 80%, which this time of year most people have got a niggling injury anyway. But look, it all looks perfect for a perfect Storm. Nelson and Chambers, they're back. Bit of ring rust, but absolute must to be included. Billy Slater's last game. I suppose the only thing, Gerds, is for the Storm not to get too emotional with their second semi-final on home deck.
Ring rust. I like it. A bit of ring rust. you're exactly right. I mean, they're pretty good in these sort of situations, though, aren't they? They handle their emotions probably better than any other club in the competition. And they also probably analyse the game better. They have the key players in key positions. They'd given the time to go over probably last week's performance by the Sharks and not have anything else to worry about other than to get fit and healthy and with, as you said, some of those key guys coming back. It's all set for a good performance by the Storm. And, MG, you know, you've been in a finals campaign. The least amount of distractions you have as a team, the more you know what to expect from the guys alongside you in those big moments, the easier it is to prepare and the easier it is to worry about your own performance. And I just get the feeling that, you know, given all those distractions for the Sharks, Paul Gallen, Luke Lewis, they weren't on at the back end of the last game against Penrith when Penrith came home, and they looked a little rudderless and frantic, didn't they? They didn't have those guys on there as a calming influence. We know Wade Graham's already out, and I don't believe Gal will play. I know he's gone down with the team, but after sort of reading between the lines over the last couple of days and seeing, you know, the impact that the injury had on him early in the week, I don't think he'll play. And then it asks the question of, well, who fills in for him? Because you look at the bench, and I know Woods is ready-made, but he's a front rower. Like, Gal plays as a middle forward, and do you move Pryor back, who's probably a little bit better laterally? Or do you bring someone in like Bukuya or Sorensen? But those guys haven't played big minutes and a lot of footy this year. So a lot of different questions being asked from the Sharkies camp. And as we spoke about, Melbourne fully prepared, fully fit, healthy roster on home soil with Billy's last game there. Gee, it's a big ask.
Sorry, Gerz, just to jump in. You know Paul Gallen from your work at Channel 9. You've done some work with him at Triple M NRL. You genuinely believe Gal, one of the most ferocious competitors, determined men to ever pull on a jersey, will not play in this game?
Yeah, look, that's my feeling at this point, mate. You know, as a senior guy, you got to understand what you can or can't contribute to the footy side, given the enormity of the situation. The winner goes on to the grand final, and if he doesn't feel like he can contribute, it was an awful injury. Watching that, it was like an impact injury where he fell awkwardly and sort of fell right on the rotator cuff. It didn't look good. And look, he needs to make a call. Given his position, I know how tough, he's probably one of the toughest guys I've ever seen play the game. But given what I've heard through the week and the footage I've seen of him trying to run and handle it, I don't think he'll play. If he does, well, I think he might regret it.
The big thing we've been harping on about with the Sharks all year has been the strength of their bench. And if things go the way you're saying, Gerds, Gallen and maybe Lewis don't play, then you've got a couple of rookies in Sorensen and Bukuya. Not so much a rookie, but start in the starting lineup. All of a sudden, that bench is diluted immensely, where the Storm, Kenny Bromwich, Welch, Hoffman and Solomona, and the three blokes have left out, Chase Blair, Brandon Smith and Sam Cassiano. That kind of makes me think, and that kind of decides for me that the depth of Storm on this weekend, which we haven't really spoken about all year, Melbourne's depth. Now, I mean, years gone by, it's always been, you know, oh, yeah, the Melbourne have got plenty of depth. But this year they've actually lost one of their best players, Cooper Cronk. But here they are. There is a one game away from a grand final again, which is an unbelievable accolade alone, isn't it, really?
Yeah, it's incredible. And I just like the way they've gone about it. And it took them some time. I just like the way that they've gone about the way that they've changed the game. When Cooper was there over the last couple of years, they built their game around sort of playing in the middle of the field and trying to slow down the ruck and forcing the other team into error and making sure, you know, they had a really astute kicking game and they kicked to the corners and they just bludgeoned sides to death, didn't they, with the process in which they were so polished at. Well, this year it had to be a little bit different. They were rusty early, a little bit ring rusty, you might say. And basically,
that's my mind.
But they had to work out a way moving forward that they could get the best out of their players. And they've got a different sort of roster where they've always had, like, you know, pretty good forwards, but workman-like forwards who they've brought from other clubs. And just Craig Bellamy's had the ability to get the best out of those guys. Well, this year they've just got out and out superstars in certain positions, and they've needed to get them the football. And the fact that they haven't got Cooper there with the accomplished kicking game, they've had to play with a little bit more width. They've had to play from their own end. They've been able to chase points. I think in the past, Cooper Cronk sides often struggle to chase points because they don't fall out of structure that well. Mm. They stick to their systems. And sometimes if you're sticking to your system and you need to come up with a big play, it doesn't come about if the other side's on the game and you can't force errors. But this year, the Storm, they can score from anywhere on the field. We saw that last week, how they were able to sort of always get themselves back into the contest against two weeks ago against South Sydney. And so they're a totally different Storm side. You're exactly right, MG. They've sort of recreated the brand in which the way that they like to play, and they've made it just as successful as it was when they had Cooper there. Incredible.
Well, Bellamy's a freak. He honestly is.
You both gentlemen went 50-50 last week. You went 1-for-2. You both tipped the Panthers and the Bunnies, and the Bunnies obviously got up by a point, and the Panthers went down by a point. Gentlemen, we'll start with you, Gerds. Who wins? What's the score and who's the player of the match?
Yeah, unfortunately for mine, I think this might blow out at the back end of this one if Storm get a really good hold of it. So I'm going to go with Melbourne at home, and I'm going to say Billy's final game down there. He was brilliant against South Sydney. I know it's a little bit of an almost like a cliche saying he's going to be their best player, but him down there in his final swan song, can't go past him.
Yeah, I'm leaning towards a 22-14 victory for the Storm. I think Matt Moylan will be one of the best players on the field. I think he'll star for the Sharkies, but I think in the end, Cameron Munster's going to have the final say in this, and I think Munster get man of the match.
All right, so you're both going for the Storm. And Gerds, just an FYI, you reckon Gow won't get up yesterday on the Rush Hour with MG early this week. One, Mark Geyer declared that he would come out of retirement to play for the Sharks if Gow didn't get up. He was that confident.
He'll play. He'll play. He'll
okay.
play.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, well, yeah. Look, I mean, mate, I'm the same as MG. I'm just going off what I feel. But I guess we'll find out on Saturday.
All right, let's move to Saturday night.
On Friday. They play Friday.
Tomorrow night.
Gerds hasn't been watching as much film as he normally does.
You'll be down there, brother. Enjoying the Crown Casino.
Can't wait.
Let's move to Saturday night. Roosters, Rabbitohs, an absolute belter. Allianz Stadium. I mean, Gerds, you don't get a lot of fairy tales in football, but this is a fairy tale for Allianz Stadium. For the final game to be between these two clubs is an outstanding result, really.
Isn't it? Yeah. Been at each other since the inception of the NRL. There's genuine dislike for each other, and that's been built over the years. And they've taken each other's players, and they've done all sorts of things to each other in relation to recruitment and retention and whatnot, as we even see, you know, Crichton going over to the Roosters next year. So, look, I'm glad it's on a Saturday. I would be a little bit concerned about Friday night. We saw the attendance last week for the Sharkies and the Panthers game. It wasn't great, given it's so hard for fans to get there after work and the city traffic and all that sort of stuff. So I'm glad it's a Saturday night. I'm glad it's going to be a full house. And even more importantly, I'm glad I'm going to be there. I can't wait for it.
Yeah, they played the first ever game at the Sydney Footy Stadium back in 1988. Some 30 years later, we get the best possible result that even a script writer of a motion picture couldn't predict. It's a case of, for mine, it's look, I would ask Gerds a question. Would you, in this game, Gerds, before you tell us who you're going for or what you know you think of the game, if Inglis was out of the Rabbitohs, would you lean towards the Roosters?
That's an interesting one. He didn't play the last time that they met in round, I think it was round 22. He was out of that one, as was Campbell Graham, as was Jennings. And the Roosters got up in that game. It was also on the back of a game the week before that South Sydney played against Melbourne and had a really good win, 30-20. And I was doing some, I was having a little look at the sides that Melbourne Storm got beat by this year. They lost 8 games. And after the week after, as you know, MG, when you come up against the defending premiers, there's a little bit of a lift in your training load. There's a little bit more emotion goes into that weekend. I mean, you're going out there against the best, so you certainly try and sort of time your run to make sure that your team's ready to roll against the best in the business.
Yep.
So that's what's happened to the Storm this year, and it happens to everyone that goes on and is wins a premiership, and that's why going back to back is so tough. But out of those 8 losses, the side went on to win only twice the weekend after. So there was an instant drop away. And that was something that South Sydney did. They beat Melbourne. It was a cracking game, 30-20, up here at ANZ. And then the next weekend, they played the Roosters. Now, the Roosters had Mitchell, and they also had Napa, who Napa loves playing the Burgess boys. He went out defensively and really shored up the middle. And Mitchell scored 10 out of the 18 points from the Roosters. So that's how important those two guys were in round 22. Now, if you take out Inglis, Inglis made 20 tackles before halftime last week, and it's really been his performance in some of the bigger games this year, like Oregon defensively, that I think has been a little overlooked because everyone expects him, you know, to do so much damage with the footy. If Inglis doesn't play, you know, and Mitchell doesn't play, I think it evens it out. If one of them, I think that, you know, Mitchell's at the point now where he does as much damage as GI does, especially with the football. But without Mitchell and without Napa, I just don't think that there's enough compensation in the replacements for the Roosters to handle the Rabbits this week.
No, I'm with you. Troy Mitchell is out. And for a bloke who scored 43% of their points, their overall points this year, gee, that makes... When I'm looking now at M. Orbison at number 3, and not El Mitchell. Look, Orbison, let's not beat around the bush. He's been in one of the best clubmen with the game's ever seen. But he's no Latrell Mitchell. I wouldn't be surprised, Gerds, if in fact they start with Madison in the centres.
Yeah.
Just for the big body factor and bring Orbison on as a... but look, I think Rabbitohs will be smarting after that 1-point loss against the Storm. I think all the off-field dramas will spur... the Burgess boys on. I think they'll be out to make amends, and all that angst that they're feeling all this week about outside noises, this big game looms, I think they'll take it out on the Roosters, and I'm thinking that Rabbitohs might win by 12 points.
What the Dragons did, I think the Roosters would have been watching pretty closely last week in relation to how the Dragons really got under the Rabbitohs' skin. And we know it was on the back of a big performance and, you know, they came off. We spoke about the damage it does playing Melbourne and that's what they went through last week, the Rabbits, with their preparation. We know there was some off-field drama where, you know, you take your eye off the football just a little bit and you've got other things going on and it can really affect your performance. And I really think that they fell into that last week, and the way they got out of that was, you know, it just says a lot about some of the individuals in that side that were able to put it together on the night. So the Dragons, they kept the ball in play last week, and I think what the Rabbitohs hate, because they're so big and when they're at their best, is when they're scoring points, there's lots of stoppages, the big boys can reload their energy levels in the middle of the field, their outside backs are doing a good job for them and they can power through. Well, the Dragons didn't do that last week. You saw Ben Honey was keeping the ball in play. Sometimes wasn't. I'm not talking about that final play, but wasn't even kicking the football, was just handing it over, making sure the game was really up-tempo, and it gave the smaller Dragons pack a real edge energy-wise against the Rabbits, and I think we'll see that again. I think that's the game plan that they'll go in with on Saturday night, and you know, being such a student of the game, Robinson and Cooper Cronk, who executes the game plan better than anyone else, that's going to be their strategy, and that's going to be something that the Rabbitohs need to overcome, because they're a smaller pack, the Roosters. They work hard for each other. They've got some really good outside backs bringing the football out of trouble in relation to Tedesco and Ferguson and Tupou. And, I mean, you look at their numbers and what they do for the go forward of the Roosters, and I don't think there's a better back three bringing the footy back. So there's small parts of their game there that I think can really hurt the Rabbits, but I just don't know if they've got the strike when they get themselves in a really good position, and if they need to chase points without guys like Mitchell, who's their go-to man. I just don't know if they've got the points in them to beat them.
And Gerds, very quickly, we'll get your tips, man of match and margin in a moment, but the absence as well of a genuine goal kicker. Takiaho looks like he's going to assume goal kicking responsibilities. Does hit them at 71%, but you've kicked goals in a finals atmosphere. How different is that to the regular season?
Well, yeah, there's no second chances. And I heard today that, you know, Takiaho might play, I think, about 50 minutes. And for the other 30, Blake Ferguson's going to step up and kick some goals. And, you know, we know what sort of, with Blake, you know, he's such a brilliant ball carrier. But in relation to, you know, some of the things he's done in the past in big situations, concentration-wise, you know, you need to put yourself in a really calm position and be able to focus on a lot of different things. You can't just put the ball down and get it over with, and I think that's what a lot of guys do when there's a lot of pressure on them. You've got to sit in the moment and really try and make sure that, you know, you get your heart rate right, and your run-up's flawless, and it's something that, you know, you've been practicing for a long time. So it's certainly another point that, you know, they're going to miss Mitchell, and they're certainly going to miss his goal kicking, which has just improved immensely over the last sort of 12 months.
Yeah, there's a bloke on the other side for the Bunnies who relishes all that stuff in Adam Reynolds. All right, let's get the tips. Gerds, we'll start with you. Who wins, margin and player of the match?
I'm going to say Bunnies by 7, and I think Sam Burgess will respond after a couple of pretty quiet outings for the Bunnies and after a lot of noise away from, you know, his performances on the field, and I think he'll have a massive night.
Yeah, I'm going down the same type of line. How can you not say that South's going to kick a field goal? I'm going South by 9, 27-18, and I think Captain Courageous will be the man of the match. I think he'll sprout some wings, GI, and bring his team home.
Okay, so you're going GI for man of the match.
Yep.
Love it. All right, you both tipped the Storm, you both tipped the Bunnies.
So does that mean we've got a Sharks Roosters grand final?
It does. Yeah, 100%. 100%. Well, no, we'll get one. The last couple of weeks we've been 50%, so it's either going to be Storm and
Storm and the Roosters, or the Sharks,
or
and,
Sharks
the Bunnies.
And the Bunnies. Yeah,
I reckon there'd be a lot of happy Roosters fans after listening to this podcast.
Well, the biggest thing we're all looking forward to now, off the back of this, is whether or not Paul Gallen plays, because Gerds will be right, or MG will be right, and if Gerds is right, MG, you'll be pulling on the Sharks colours and running.
I better get my passport.
Oh, you could do worse.
I've got to go to Mexico.
You know. Ryan Girdler, thank you so much. You'll be part of the call team all this weekend for Triple M.
Go, go, go.
Thanks for having me, boys.
See you, champion. Boys. Bye,
thanks,
mate.
Thanks, Gerd. See you, mate.
Yeah, easy, guys. See you, guys.
Thanks, buddy.